And over here, we have Todd Davis, who's assistant for Associate General Counsel for UNCG, and Chrissy Flood, who is also a member of the History Department and active resident of college. The committee's been working on a number of things. This semester, we've worked on trying to find out more information about Governor Aycock, the history of Governor Aycock and his relationship to UNCG, collecting the information about what other institutions have been doing surrounding this issue, and then seeking ways to gather input from the university community and others. One way that the feedback is being gathered is through the website that we have created, which is acock.uncg.edu. We've got a lot of feedback there, and maybe everybody's already given their feedback, and so they didn't feel like coming out on such a nice evening tonight, but so far we've got more than 1,000 people that have offered feedback through the website. But we also want to have a couple of public forums to allow people to also express their opinion. So we're going to be, in the next few weeks, we're going to be developing a report that includes a recommendation to the Board of Trustees who will make all final decisions on this matter. So we have a lot of time in a relatively small group, so I want to just open up the floor to anybody who would like to make comments. Please come forward. Yeah, it might not pick up.
Whatever's best.
One of the mics on the side.
Yeah, if you want to use that, or you can use this one, either one.
I'm not used to speaking in a microphone, so can you hear me if that works?
Absolutely.
I know about Charles V. Aycock, for the most part, because of Aycock Auditorium. And I know there's a plaque in Aycock Auditorium that talks about Charles V. Aycock as the education governor. And I have learned from the website that he was a friend of McKeever, and they were in school together. But the reason that I'm here tonight, and my name is Laura Kitts, and I retired from the development office about 4 years ago. And the bond referendum of, not sure what year it was, that UNCG benefited so much and redid many of our buildings was in the mid-2000s. And in 2006, for that bond referendum to pass, which was the largest bond referendum ever passed in this country for higher education, we agreed to raise X amount of private dollars to help match the bond referendum. And we had to go out and find people who would give us money to support the buildings and what we were doing. And Aycock Auditorium was totally renovated. That was one of our biggest projects, and it's beautiful now, thanks to that bond referendum. And we went and we found the Aycock family and asked them to help support by giving their money to renovate Aycock. And I understand that was mentioned this morning, but I'm not sure that it was mentioned that they didn't come to us and say, here is money to support the building and renovating of Aycock. We went after them and had a wonderful time getting to know these very fine people who have, and John McClendon is here today. I got to know him during that. And there are lots of Aycock descendants, but they're still living in North Carolina. They've been wonderful citizens and very outstanding people. And so I remember how wonderful it was to work with them, because they didn't say, no, go away. They said, how can we help? And here are the names and addresses. And we'll come to campus and we'll visit and we'll see it. And it was one of those things that was, I thought at that time, was just a win-win situation. So I was happy to work with them. And I'm sorry about 1898 and 1902 through Governor Aycock's tenure as governor. But I do know, and I've read this in my research, that when the bill was presented to him from the legislature, and he had no veto power at that time, he said, I will not sign a bill that takes away the money the legislature wanted to take away from any African-American schools at that time. He said, I will resign rather than do that. And I was, I think there, I hope there was a glimmer of hope, but I know that he did support schools for African-Americans and not in, at the same rate as for white children. We've come a long way in the state. And we still have a long way to go today, so it seems like we still see disenfranchisement every time we turn around. But I was pleased to work with the Aycock family on that renovation of Aycock Auditorium and how much they stepped forward to support that project.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Put anybody else on the spot, but would anybody else like to say anything?
Small crowds are hard.
It's maybe the shortest public forum.
Would you like the microphone? The question is just whatever we share which I feel leaves a lot to be said, because although, yes, he believed in giving money to African-American students, he believed in educating them for inferior and subordinate purposes, which I feel is something that he was very vocal about in reading over different speeches that he gave things of that nature, both here in the state of North Carolina and throughout the South. So I feel like, yes, that's a good thing as far as over increasing the overall amount of education, but when that increase is coming also at the expense of creating a greater disparity between people, I feel like that sense of era of cognitive dissonance, if you will, to the students that come on these campuses. And when you look at the fact that African American students, and I'm focusing specifically on that group right now, make up approximately 25% of the students or the face of this campus, that's a large portion of students that we're sending mixed signals to. On one hand, UNCG boasts about being the most diverse campus in the UNC system. That's wonderful. But when students come here, what are they being told? And what messages are being sent to them when we are commemorating or recognizing an individual who, even if you want to say it's over a century ago, a century is a lot closer than we realize, and the ramifications of the decisions made a century ago are still lasting in the past one day. So I feel like it does have a very mixed message in how the university as a whole feels. I think it's great when we say that this is something that is being considered for review. I think that does start the process of sending a very positive message. But I didn't attend the institute in undergrad. However, I can only imagine coming to the campus when I learned more and talked a bit more about Governor H. Bach for myself. It was interesting to me, but it was a bit disheartening. On one hand, I could say, well, why is there even discussion about it? But again, I don't just look at the bad. I see that he has made a very positive contribution. But, and also when we go back and say, when it comes to, I just spoke about the renovations of the building and the contributions made by the staff and other people in the community as well, I think it's worth noting, yes, it would be a costly thing to remove his name from the building or to go through that process at all. However, I feel that the results of that, the impact of that, is something that is valuable. Because I feel like I said, I've been speaking specifically to the African Americans, but to minorities or any group of minorities that is represented, whether it be women in a male dominated society, people of sexual orientation that feel like they're not for any group that feels in any way inferior on this campus, in this area, to see that we care enough to at least sit down at the table and make these decisions. I feel like that is much more invaluable than the amount that it would cost to remove that. Because I feel like that's something that's lasting. I feel like that's something that people take pride in. And when you take pride in your school, you want to go out and do well and represent your school well, which then brings in more people to your school because they say, oh wow, so-and-so is doing such and such. They don't see this teaching. They're smart. Things like that. And I know at a lot of great institutions, that was something that was big to us. You're proud of your school so that when you leave here, you carry our name in a great way. And I feel like for your students to see you out, they care enough in that regard. Whether I'm a Latino who observes that this has been taken into consideration and then looked at and reviewed for another group of people, that maybe we'll have that same consideration if it was something that affected me. I also, last thing I wanted to say, sorry, all of this is written online, and like I said, got here. But last thing I wanted to say, I think it was sensible and wise for UNCG to go ahead and prepare, that we're not prepared to look at what others are doing or not relying on using other resources and things like that. It's the wise thing to do. However, I did add a little bit of online about that, and I feel like we also have to consider what works for home. For example, if I had roaches in my house, I couldn't say, oh, what are you doing about your roaches up there? Because it might not be the same thing. It might not be the same cause. And I feel like the demographic and the dynamic of our universities are different, even within the linguistic system. So I think it's a great thing, but I think we have to look at what we're doing here at home, what works for our community. Because this is a home away from for a lot of students, and therefore we want them to feel at home, not like the stepchild or the shunned black sheep or anything like that.
probably stick around.
Well, again, don't put me on the spot. We'll probably the members of the committee will probably stick around a little bit if these people show up late. You're welcome to stick around or leave whenever you feel like it. But
I have just a question from the committee.
Yeah.
And I read that in one of the things I read about some of the background is that in 20 years, Andrew Jackson's face won't go the $20 bill. But what is the precedent for this kind of thing?
For
taking names off. I mean, I know that when I just can't think of any of that happening.
In this country?
What?
I mean, our institutions around the state.
The what?
Our other sister institutions.
Oh, well, yeah, the specific one.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But at Brown University, there was a big controversy because the money came from horrendous circumstances. But I just wondered what other...
I mean, I guess maybe the closest thing to this is not necessarily a name change, but the movement to remove like the Confederate battle flag from state flags in the South. That's probably the closest thing I could think of to this kind of, and you know, that was done in a number of states, South Carolina and Georgia, and they declined to do it in Mississippi. They had kind of officer restrictions in that state. Just go to down. But that's the closest thing I can think of. I mean, you can think of some examples from other, like after Stalin died, there was a big effort to remove a lot of names and symbols associated with him.
What came up today about the, some of the team names and mascot names?
Yeah, that's the other thing, concerns about names related to Native American sports teams, right? Yeah. So those would be, I guess, the two closest examples I can think of. Not directly the same, but sort of, Good question. Yes?
I've got something to say.
Okay.
I'm Bob Kitts, and I'll be brief. I'm not a friend of the university. My thought is simple. I think the university of Green Bay needs to be looking forward and the people in the community.
Excuse me, sir, can you tell me your affiliation?
I'm Bob Pitts, and I'm an alumni of the University of Greensboro, and I'm a friend. I think it's very important that we're looking forward, and I think this kind of action potentially puts us in a posture of looking backward, and I wonder what's next. Is this a continual? As we think about speaking of bringing back dollars, George Washington is on the $1 bill, George Washington owned a large number of slaves. I don't think anyone much thinks good things about slavery, but I'm not aware of any big movement to remove George Washington from the name of the capital or the $1 bill. I'm not sure it's a perfect analogy, but I wonder if we won't get caught up in looking backward as a community and as a university. I think the university necessarily needs to be looking forward to its bright future, especially considering the grim recent past that we've all experienced. And we're excited as friends of the university with the prospects of the university. And I think it's very important that we gather our energy and look forward as a community. And I think that this kind of thing, as little meaning as it is, and I'm sure that it is potentially divisive, and this kind of from the nation, that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you all for coming and for talking, and we'll probably stick around in case somebody shows up a little bit late, but
stop for now.